And good morning. I'm Brian Baxter, coming to you from St. Louis and the annual meeting of the United Soybean Board. The directors here have been meeting for the past few days, looking at 2014, electing new officers, swearing in 13 new directors for the United Soybean Board, and evaluating the progress of their programs in 2013 and looking ahead to the new year. We do have new officers to introduce to you on our call this morning. We also are going to open up the call for questions today. In order to ask a question, you'll need to press star 1 on your phone. Just press star 1, and that will put you in the question queue, and then we'll be taking those questions after we have a few opening comments. Our new officers for the United Soybean Board, the new chairman is Jim Call from Minnesota. Jim's name is J-I-M-C-A-L-L. Jim Call from Minnesota is the new chairman for the United Soybean Board. The vice chair is Bob Hazelwood from Kansas, B-O-B-H-A-S-E-L-W-O-O-D. Bob Hazelwood from Kansas is the new vice chair. The secretary for the United Soybean Board is Lewis Bainbridge from South Dakota, L-E-W-I-S, Lewis Bainbridge, B-A-I-N-B-R-I-D-G-E, from South Dakota, is the new USB secretary. And Jared Haggard from North Dakota is the new treasurer, Jared, J-A-R-E-D, and last name is spelled H-A-G-E-R-T, Jared Haggard from North Dakota, the new treasurer from, again, North Dakota, for the United Soybean Board. And again, a reminder, we're going to open it up for questions here in just a few minutes, but I want to give each of our new officers a chance to introduce themselves. Actually, we'll start with Jim. And Jim, you have some opening comments, but start us off. Just tell us just a little bit about your farm and how your harvest went, and we'll go right down the line and introduce the rest of our directors that way.
All right. Thank you, Brian. I'm Jim Call. I farm in western Minnesota with my wife and my two sons. And we had a very good harvest. Our soybean yields were better than we expected this fall. We had a kind of a hot, dry summer, and so we were worried about them. But and the corn yields were pretty good too. So I guess we were pretty happy with everything as far as yields. The price, that's probably a different story. But
okay, thanks, Jim. And Bob from Kansas. Go ahead.
I'm Bob Hazelwood, and I live in the east central Kansas, right on the south edge of Topeka. And our harvest was about average for us. We had a mixed bag of weather from cool spring to a hot stretch, and then cooled off again, and then another hot stretch. So we were kind of concerned about the crop, but we at least got an average crop. But for us, I mean, after the last 2 years, that seems like a pleasant surprise.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Lewis from South Dakota.
Lewis Bainbridge, South Dakota, and I farm with two sons and my wife also. We started out incredibly dry. We were very worried about what to deal with, this, particularly in the livestock area. But the rain started coming, and we're very, very thankful, coming off the worst drought in my lifetime to having the best corn crop in my lifetime so far. And soybeans were a little less than average, but they were still quite good. And the wheat was very good, as well as the hay and the pasture grounds. So a lot to be thankful for.
All right. Thanks, Lewis. And Jared from North Dakota.
Good morning. My name is Jared Haggard. I'm from east central North Dakota, where I farm with my wife, Brandy. We raise a diverse mixture of crops, hard red spring wheat, soybeans, corn, and dry edible beans. Our weather was variable, like much of the U.S. this year. And our harvest ended up being above average, which was quite surprising in some areas of our farm.
All right. Thanks, Jared. And that is your new officer team for the United Soybean Board. And now I'm going to turn it over to Jim Call, the new chairman, for some opening remarks about the Soybean Checkoff and the United Soybean Board's work. Jim?
All right. Thank you, Brian. Good morning and greetings from St. Louis and our annual meeting. We're getting an update on the progress of checkoff-funded research and promotion programs. As you know, checkoff programs are all designed to improve the profitability of the half million or so U.S. soybean farmers that we serve. This morning, I'd like to make some brief comments about how I see USB going about that in the coming year. And then we'll be happy to take some questions. One obvious and immediate opportunity we have right in front of us is with the checkoff-driven innovation of High Oleic soybeans. Just last month, when the federal government announced an effort to eventually ban trans fats, we were reminded how important it is for the farmers to look ahead and be prepared. The case in point, the High Oleic Soybean Program, which was conceived and approved by the United Soybean Board long before the FDA's announcements. Trans fat labeling has already affected 4 billion pounds of annual soybean oil demand, and this ban would affect an additional 2 billion pounds. The oil from High Oleic soybeans is expected to fill a significant part of that demand. High Oleic soybeans produce a higher functioning oil for frying and baking customers, and the oil from these soybeans avoids trans fats. The CheckUp continues to collaborate on High Oleic soybeans to win back lost market share in the food industry, the number one customer of U.S. soy behind animal agriculture. As many of you are aware, last year, USB approved a project to expand the availability of High Oleic soybean varieties in more maturity groups faster than would have been happened otherwise. The CheckUp also promotes High Oleic soybean oil among food industry customers and conducts farmer outreach to increase plantings of High Oleic soybean varieties as they become available. Additionally, the soybean industry has been working diligently to improve soybean processing so we can improve functionality in commodity soybean oil while avoiding trans fats. The CheckUp's proactive strategy on High Oleic soybeans will produce a more valuable soybean oil and lead to higher profitability for all U.S. soybean farmers. And that's the job of the Soybean CheckUp, to look ahead at what's coming around the corner to make sure all U.S. soybean farmers can benefit. In fact, if the CheckUp reaches its goal of 18 million acres planted to High Oleic by 2023, all U.S. soybean farmers will likely receive an additional 66 cents per bushel. That's over the price they would receive if the industry did not adopt High Oleic soybeans and we continue to lose oil demand. High Oleic soybean oil is just one innovation the CheckUp is driving. There's plenty of other work being done to research better high-yielding soybeans and market our products to our customers. One of the quickest ways of making an impact on a soybean farm is through research to protect and increase yields. That's why for each of the past 2 years, the CheckUp has invested more than $50 million into production research. The goal of these projects is higher yields and better composition. Without the CheckUp's commitment to funding these research innovations, it would be much more difficult for farmers to meet growing customer demand and maximize farmer profitability. In fact, the CheckUp funds about 25% of the soybean research conducted by land-grant universities and other public institutions. In my opinion, this research is one reason why average soybean yields have increased by about 14 bushels per acre over the past generation. Production research helps farmers ensure an abundant and profitable supply, but the CheckUp also works to increase demand. This month, we should see a new list of soybean-based products the CheckUp helped bring to market in 2013. Last year, the CheckUp helped commercialize 40 new products that utilize soy, and this year could be even better. This is an exciting market. Industrial users, other than biodiesel, are using 85% more U.S. soybean oil than they were a decade ago to create new soy-based innovations. Still, the biodiesel industry is our biggest industrial user and will continue to be an important customer in the coming year. It's also an industry that has already benefited from CheckUp-funded innovations. Soybean farmers started biodiesel and continue to support that industry. For instance, CheckUp funds the research that helps make biodiesel the most tested renewable fuel on the market. That research shows that many performance, environmental, and economic benefits of the fuel. As a result, we have increased biodiesel usage and continued demand for soybean oil. A study funded by soybean farmers in Minnesota, Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota showed that biodiesel contributed 74 cents a bushel to soybean prices between 2006 and 2012. This year, biodiesel's positive impact on soybean farmers continues. The biodiesel industry will produce at least 1.28 billion gallons of fuel, and in all likelihood, the final total will be much higher than that. At the very least, we're looking at the biodiesel industry using the oil from 430 million bushels of soybeans. Many other exciting markets lie outside of our borders. Last month, we learned that the final tally for whole U.S. soybeans, meal, and oil exports in the last marketing year. As you probably heard, export sales again accounted for more than half of our crop. Our international customers have needs that are just as different as the countries importing our soy. These customers care about things like protein levels, sustainability, transportation reliability, biotechnology, and many more aspects of the American soybean industry. The checkoff helps farmers meet those needs and maintain this steady stream of soybeans heading to China, Mexico, and the European Union, and also other markets. So the checkoff has been busy, and there is still much left to do. But it's also an exciting time to be a soybean farmer and a soy checkoff farmer leader. Yesterday, we swore in 35 soybean farmers from 30 states to join the board. These farmers are just like all American soybean farmers. They're hardworking and demand results. They were also appointed by the USDA after being nominated by state soybean boards. We thank them for their willingness to serve, and we welcome them to the board. Thank you again for taking the time this morning to be with us, and we'll be happy to answer your questions.
All right, Jim. Thanks very much for those comments. Again, that's Jim Call, the new chairman of the United Soybean Board from Minnesota. As Jim mentioned, they swore in directors here in St. Louis, and they now have 70 directors on the United Soybean Board. That's the highest that I know of, anyway, 70 directors now for USB. Lots of areas to cover this morning, and we're happy to take your questions. You'll need to press star 1, that's star 1, to get in the question queue. And Valerie, I'd like to know, do we have any questions on the line now?
There are no questions at this time.
All right, again, you want to press star 1 if you want to ask a question. And I'll start us off. Jim, as you have gone through the past couple of days in working with the board, what do you see as maybe the highlight of the work done here at this meeting in St. Louis?
Well, obviously bringing in our new directors was one of the big points. Like you said, we've got 70 now. We went from 69 last year to 70 board members, and trying to bring some of these new members up to speed. Our board somewhat can sometimes get kind of complicated, so trying to bring these new guys up is really important. Of course, we had the elections, and then we'll be putting people on our action teams here in the next couple days and trying to get them familiar with our structure.
And just so we understand, what drives the increase to 70 directors?
Well, it's based on production within each of the soybean-producing states across the United States. So if you have more production, you get more directors.
And Valerie, we'll go back to the phone lines and ask if we have a question on the line.
There are no questions at this time.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You do have a question from the line of Gary DeGespe with Arkansas Radio News Network.
All right. Gary, please go ahead.
Hi, Brian. Good morning, guys. You talked about earlier the effort to improve the content of soybeans to improve genetics so there's a better protein, better oil. Do you have any tangible results? Have you seen, based on testing of soybean production, whether we're actually getting to see improvements in components?
Right now, a big component of...
I'm sorry, I can barely hear you.
Is this better?
It sounds like you're not talking
into a microphone.
Stand
by just a second, Gary. We're going to switch mics and see if that helps us a little bit.
How's that?
Yeah, go ahead, Jared. I think you're good now.
The component value of our soybeans, we've been working on that through our value task force, bringing ideas throughout the value chain forward, and working on that end aspect of it. I can speak to it from that standpoint that we've been researching this with Checkoff for quite a few years, and although progress seems to be incremental at times, I think with the help of the biotechnology aspect of it, now we will be able to see better component values. Part of it also is the amino acid profile of the soybeans. On the oil side of it, I'd like to ask my colleague, Lewis Bainbridge, to comment on that part of it.
Certainly, we keep emphasizing to our farmers to be aware of the protein and oil content of your soybeans when you go for your seed selection. And a number of states do run yield contests and so forth to validate that. So the information is available from your seed suppliers on the oil and protein content of your beans. Obviously, with the Ohio Lake Project, we're even more concerned with this. So we're kind of on the rollout phase with Ohio Lake, so we will have some information shortly to dispense to people so that they can be aware of what the oil content is of these new soybeans. So obviously, the very important thing to keep working on.
And Gary, do you have another line of questioning?
Yeah, let me follow up and ask you about transportation. We've heard so much about the expansions on the Panama Canal and the need for U.S. Ports to be able to service Panamax vessels. What is USB doing in regard to enhancing the ability of the U.S. infrastructure to carry American soybeans abroad?
Gary, this is Jim Call again. One of the things that United Soybean BART has done is we've done studies on our transportation infrastructure and what could happen if, say, the locks and dams fail on the Mississippi and what that's going to cost U.S. soybean farmers. And obviously the United Soybean BART can't do any lobbying or anything like that, but we work with our sister organization, the ASA, to bring this information to our people in Washington, D.C., and show them the importance of keeping our infrastructure going. I mean, it's the one thing that we've got over our competition down in South America is our transportation system. It's a lot more reliable. And this, just as an example, this fall there was, at times there were over 100 ships sitting off the port in Brazil waiting to load beans, and those people that were supposed to get those beans weren't getting them on time, where in the United States we can, if we have an efficient transportation system, we can provide a better, more reliable source of soybeans to our customers overseas.
All right, Gary, thanks for those questions. And again, you need to press star 1 to be in the question queue. Anyone there in the queue for us, Valerie?
You have a question from the line of Matthew Ernst of Farm World.
Matthew, please go ahead.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I was wondering if there's any update on the outlook for a regulatory approval for the Ohio Lake beans in the EU market.
Matthew, this is Jim Call. Yeah, that's one of the things that's kind of holding us up on our Ohio Lake rollout is the approvals in our overseas customers. And right now, you know, approvals are kind of hard to predict when they're going to come through, but we're looking at probably the second or third quarter of 2014. We're hoping we have approvals from the EU for our Ohio Lake, and we're also waiting for some approvals from China also. So we're hoping to get that done in 2014.
And Matthew, do you have another question for us?
That takes care of it. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you. We do have media here in the room as well as on the phone lines. I don't know if we have a question here in the room or. Okay. Please.
So I know that we're in the comment period right now for the trans fat ban from FDA. So what are you guys providing in terms of testimony to try to convince FDA about what the timeline should be for putting the ban in place so that the soybean industry is ready with the high oleic product so you have the push-pull that you need?
Well, I think, Michelle, there will be a lot of comments, and we'll have some comments. But, you know, the food processors are going to have a lot of say in that because they're going to have to change their formulations a lot because, you know, the product they use is a soybean where it's partially hydrogenated, and, you know, that's what creates the trans fat. And the food processors are using that partially hydrogenated oil because it's a solid form, and you know when they have to change their form. So I think as far as what we will do when they food processors start to, you know, transfer to a different form or different oil, I think this is opening up the opportunity for Ohio Lake to get in and maybe in some blends that we can substitute some of that oil that might be substituted for the our trans or partially hydrogenated oil. So.
Okay, and that was coming from Bob Hazelwood from Kansas. And let's go back to the phone lines now. Valerie, do we have any questions in the queue?
There are no questions at this time.
Okay. Again, you need to press star 1 if you're going to have a question. I want to let you know that media releases are available on the website, unitedsoybean.org. So coverage of the meeting and all of the issues that the checkoff is working with are available on unitedsoybean.org. And Valerie, let's go back and see, do we have a question in the queue at this point?
You have a question from the line of Matt Williams with Illinois Agri-News.
All right. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you very much. I was wondering, obviously USB has made a point of pursuing the livestock industry, and I was wondering if someone might give us an update on what segment of the livestock industry maybe is growing as far as being a soybean consumer, and maybe what segments are shrinking.
Jim Call, I'm not sure if you're talking about domestically or internationally.
I mean both, actually.
All right. One of the areas that the fastest-growing meat sector internationally is aquaculture right now. We're seeing a huge increase in production of aquaculture, mostly farm-raised fish overseas, and that's an important area for soybeans because they're converting from a fish-based diet to a plant-based diet, and so they're feeding a lot more soybean meal in that area. And so that's where a lot of our overseas technical staff is working hard with these aquaculture producers, and they're seeing some much better rate of gains using soybean meal. And but there's a lot of varieties in aquaculture, so that's an area that the United Soybean Board is investing a lot of money in, trying to make sure that we have the right diets for all these breeds of fish.
And what about the domestic side? See anything there?
Maybe I could have Lewis cover that. Lewis is a livestock producer.
Certainly, we spend a lot of time and effort trying to relay our message to the livestock producers about biodiesel production, helping to lower the feed cost to our livestock producers. So we do a fair amount of work trying to get that message out, as well as do whatever else we can to support the livestock industry. It makes a lot of sense to maintain the livestock industry in this country and export a finished product of protein, if you will. So all these things are very, very important to us as soybean producers.
And Matt, do you have another question, line of questioning for us?
No, that takes care of it. Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much. And again, you need to press star 1 to ask a question. Valerie, do we have any other questions in the line?
There are no questions at this time.
Okay. Jim, I just want to follow up on aquaculture a little bit. What you mentioned that you're working internationally in that arena. What countries, are there countries where that seems to be really a big opportunity?
Yeah, the countries that are really big in aquaculture right now is, of course, China, and also Vietnam, Indonesia, and there's some stuff being done in the Mediterranean Sea also. But I think a lot of people don't realize that over 90% of the fish products that come into the United States have to come from overseas. It's not produced locally. So we're working, like I said, with a lot of our end users overseas. I know it was about 3 years ago I was in India, and I was there for the grand opening of the first aquaculture feed plant that opened in India. And since then, there's been four more that have opened up. So it's... And I know Vietnam is the same way. There's a lot of fish being grown there, and so there's a lot of demand for that around the world.
Okay. Thanks for those comments, Jim Call. And, again, we'll go back to the phone lines and see if we have a question. Valerie, anything in the line for us?
There are no questions at this time.
Okay. All right, then. Gentlemen, I want to thank you very much for your comments and media on the phone line. I thank you for your participation today. Again, you can get more information by going to unitedsoybean.org. And again, we have new officers and all kinds of information at that website. So thanks for your participation today, and we'll sign off from St. Louis in the 2013 meeting of the United Soybean Board. Thanks very much.
Thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.